The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, John Weldon is with me, the optometrist. He is here for the kids clinic this week. So it goes without saying we are speaking about eye health. John, you're welcome to the show. Thanks a million for coming in to us. Tell me about when you might first notice signs of issues with your kids' eyes when they're young.
Well, good afternoon, Kieran, and good afternoon, listeners. For most of us, it's from the moment baby arrives, you know. So the first thing we look at is eye contact. Normally, you will know what looks kind of feels like kind of normal. So if anything looks quite different than that, either yourself, mum or midwife will say, that looks a little bit different.
And how often will a child be born with something that's noticeable that early?
Yeah, ordinarily, that's pretty rare, thankfully. So for most of us, it's a developmental journey. And as we know, developmental journey for our eyes can take up to 11, 12, perhaps 13 years of age, the current research shows us.
Okay, so a child could have perfect vision in those early years and then they develop issues as old as 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, is it?
Sure, Kieran. So when baby arrives, usually they see pretty poorly for the first 6 to 9 months of life. And that's why we see the first baby toys are so big and so colourful, because a child's sight is really pretty poor for those first weeks and months of life.
And what then are the common issues, the most common issues that occur kind of from a developmental point of view? People I know listening would be conscious of, you know, kids wearing patches or the fogged glasses on one eye in school. We all have those memories.
Sure. So occlusion therapy or eye patching is generally used to treat an amblyopic or a squint or a turning eye, whereby correction with just spectacles is not enough.
And the consequence of that, when you say it's a turning of the eye, when you do the eye patch, and it would correct the turn, so you've got both eyes working in tandem the way that they're meant to, in synchronization. How often then is there a necessity to wear glasses? Does it go hand in hand with a necessity to wear glasses afterwards?
Yeah, what a really good question. And not always. Some squints or turns are accommodative in nature, Kieran. In other words, they're directly related to a prescription or spectacle correction. And oftentimes, wearing of that spectacle correction is enough to correct the turn or deviation. Where you move into treatment with eye patching or occlusion, the theory is you cover up the good eye to allow or encourage the weaker eye to grow and develop as it should.
How much advancement has there been in how these types of things are treated? You know, we're all used to now talking about laser surgery, and one of my colleagues here who works with us on the Hard Shoulder in the afternoons recently had it, so he was in here with his sunglasses on for a few weeks. Does that type of stuff, has it trickled down towards treating kids?
Yeah, well, refractive surgery in all of its forms has been around for a very, very big number of years. The first laser surgeries were carried out by Professor John Marshall in Moorfields Hospital in London in the early 70s. All forms of surgery for correcting refractive error require the refractive error to be stabilised. And like we've mentioned, for children, the things can change, and ordinarily surgeons won't entertain thoughts of surgery until you're at least 18 or 21 and have a stable prescription for a number of years prior to the procedure.
Okay, so I get we're talking predominantly here about developmental issues, you know, genetic, biological, what have you. Let's talk about environmental issues and taking care of the kids' eyes and the types of things kids do today that maybe weren't done in the past. I'm talking about screens, obviously.
Yeah, this is the elephant in the room, and we're sat in a studio here and I can actually visualise 8 different screens in front of us. So our environment and our world has changed appreciably in recent generations. We know that the effect of this on children's eyes is twofold. First of all, we talk about things like eye strain and eye tiredness. We also think about myopia, the increased occurrence of short-sightedness in the population. But we also think in developmental terms of things like what happens to develop your hand-eye coordination, and playing on a device or a game machine isn't the same as running up a field with a slither and a hurley.
If you develop a condition by virtue of looking at a screen, can you self-correct it by just stopping looking at the screen?
Yeah, there's a big body of scientific evidence, particularly from Calgary in Canada, that suggests that if you divert your energy from that excess of screen use to other outdoor pursuits, it can reduce the level and amount of short-sightedness.
There comes a time, does there, though, where you cross a Rubicon, you've done irreparable damage, does there?
Well, one never likes to say never, but yes, by the time the developmental phase of children's eye care, as we mentioned, in that 9 to 13 years of age is set, your visual pathway is more or less set. There is an incidence or a period of time from 13 to 16 or 17 where short-sightedness will grow and develop. And we all know the experience of when our children get a little bit older, they've been perfect through national school, they go to the big school and suddenly, mom or dad, I can't read what the teacher is on the board.
Smartphones, I think the first iPhone was launched in 2009-ish, 2008, anyway, kind of the late noughties, they became ubiquitous. Maybe it was launched a bit earlier than that, it was too expensive for some people. But from then onwards, so you probably have, I'm trying to just work out generationally where the oldest people are who may have grown up looking at screens, a lot of screens. You're probably still in your late 20s to early 30s at the very upper end, maybe mid 30s. And I just wonder whether there's much evidence yet of long term eye damage, how their experience. So I'll put it this way. I'm in that classic thing now in my early 40s of holding things slightly further and further away from my face and convincing myself I don't need to wear glasses despite the squinting and the headaches, which is relatively typical. And I wonder whether that will change, whether there will be different patterns of how kind of eyes degenerate as they get older because of screen use.
Yeah, I guess there's two things there conflated together, Kieran. First of all, the arms not long enough business is a lovely Greek word called presbyopia. That's the normal, natural aging process that all of us experience. And ordinarily, in our early 40s, we tend to find our close work vision, we can't sustain, and our focusing fluidity isn't as good as it was when we were younger. The developmental issue for us with screens, though, I think we can all experience eye strain, tiredness. For example, when I took up some postgraduate study recently, you get deadlines, you've got to submit and edit stuff at a certain time. And we can all come away from the screen with tired, dry eyes and go, that was hard work. So a lot of it is an environmental thing and how you set up your workstation with your screen. How much time are you taking adequate breaks? Are you remembering to blink? Are you staying hydrated and so forth?
So before I let you go then, what is the main advice that we're offering, because this is the kids clinic, to parents out there, and maybe parents who notice something in their children's eye that maybe they seem to have a difficult, maybe they're doing that thing I described myself, doing the squinting or the holding things at different lengths, or they have a difficulty focusing on things, or maybe they're staring at screens. What's your advice in terms of just taking care of the eyes from an early age?
Well, first of all, is just observe. You know, we look at each other, we make eye contact, we know what looks normal, we know what looks different. Pediatric eye care begins with the screening that's provided by your public health nurse. Your access to your local optometrist is a key element because they will journey with you and watch your child's development through all those milestones right through life. They're very highly qualified and trained professionals, and they love to see kids. Most of us are parents, and we all understand we just want what's best and right for our kids, and your local optometrist can deliver those services very easily.
John, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. I really appreciate it. John Weldon, the optometrist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.